Book of Exodus, chapter 8, starting from verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants.
Now if you remember, last week we learned first miracle they did, turning the river's water into blood. So each and every river, the pond of water, the oceans, the water was stored in the house and everything was bloody. Those musicians start doing the same thing, and they also made the blood from the water, but they didn't know how to purify the water. And I don't know how they did it, but they do magic. So magic is just the trick of the hands. But here we see the word of God says 7 days they had the dirty water, bloody water, but the Pharaoh did not ask Moses, could you please change this water and make it the way it was? But they did not ask anything. After 7 days, these people, they learned they have to drink some water. So they dig some kind of holes, a small well around this river, and they got a pure water. And so they didn't care about what Moses did with this water. So there is no record that Pharaoh is saying, please change this water back to the regular water. Didn't say. So that's why the Lord says, after 7 days, God says, go to the Pharaoh and tell him, I'm going to bring the frog to your land. Now, frog, they worship the frog. And so they thought, oh, the frog coming from river to our house is a blessing. We don't have to go to river to look at the frog. Let them come. So the frogs, he said, you know what the frog will do? Frog will come to your land, your house, your servant's house, your bedroom, your bed. Not only that, it will come to your ovens and where you're kneading your dough, they will be in there too. Now, this much warning somebody gives to you. And they saw already God did two miracles. One miracle was done making a stick to the snake. That was just a miracle. But the second one, turning water to blood, that was not just a miracle, but that was just the one of the plague. They started from there. And as I said earlier, when God does all kinds of miracles and plague brings to Pharaoh, now Pharaoh is not going and telling children of Israel, make more bricks. Because as I said last week, they cannot make a bricks with a bloody water. And so they have to bring a little bit of water to where they are making bricks. So it was difficult. I don't think they make any brick from that day onwards. So now the frog is coming everywhere. Now if the frog is everywhere, even to in your oven, so you cannot cook anything. If you cook, you're cooking the frogs. If you are making dough, they are jumping in your dough, so you are making the dough with the frog. So it's a difficult situation. So this is what's happening, and they never thought this many frogs can come to their house. So in this situation, they cannot go to children of Israel and say, make a brick. Where are they going to make a brick? The frogs will be coming in their mud and they will be killed, and they don't want their frogs to be killed because the frog is their God. So this is what's going to happen. This is a warning Moses gave. Let's read the verse 5.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take the frogs, that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord."
Okay, now this is the first time Pharaoh is willing that these people should go and worship their God. Why? Because their God is not helping, and all the frogs everywhere, and this magician, instead of making the frog disappear, they bring more frogs. And so the Pharaoh got frustrated, and he calls Moses. He says, "You know what? You want to go? I let you go. And go and sacrifice unto the Lord." Now see, this is the enemy's trick. See how he's doing. Now we have to go and learn his mentality. He's saying, "You want to go? Go and worship the Lord." So it's a good idea. But God already told, "I am going to harden the Pharaoh's heart." From this day onwards, you see, Moses is not getting mad at God. Nobody's fighting. Why? Because they are seeing one after another disaster coming to Pharaoh and his people, but the children of Israel, they are safe. So they are just having fun. Let's see what happened next. And so Pharaoh calls Moses and said, "Do you want to go and worship? Go." Now, Moses didn't say anything. "Okay, we are going to go, and let my people go first, 3-day journey, and then I'll come back and let the frog disappear." If you would have made a deal like that, Pharaoh would have said, "Okay, go, take your people." But Moses did not make any deal. He said, "Okay, you want this frog to go away? What I'm going to do, I'm going to ask God to take this frog away." Let's read the verse 9.
"And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only?"
Now, here Moses says, "Glory over me." And I start looking at every translation. Nobody had the right translation what glory over me means, what the Moses is telling to Pharaoh. Actually, what Moses was telling to Pharaoh, "Do you know God made me God over you? God's glory is over me. God's power is over me. And I have power to let this frog disappear. I can do it by the power of God, because God's glory and God's power is over me." Can anybody say like that? We are ordinary people, but we possess the power of God. The word of God says we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. There is no limit the child of God can do. So we have to say, "God's power is over me, God is with me, and I can do all things." There is nothing impossible with God. But people are not coming to that mentality yet. But Moses, ordinary man, he said, I cannot talk, God. My tongue is stuttering and I have no power to talk. My lips are uncircumcised. My tongue is not circumcised. I cannot talk to Pharaoh." But now he is saying, because he saw the miracle of blood, he saw the miracles of frogs. They are destroying their land. They're destroying their food and everything. So he's saying, "You want me to let this frog disappear?" He said, "I'm going to pray to God. God is going to do it. But let me tell you, God's glory is over me. I am going to ask God, and God will hear my prayer." Because people should know, when we pray, things should happen. Some people pray and say, "I don't know God will do it or not, but I'm going to give a try anyhow. I'm going to pray and see what God does." God wants to heal us. There is no way you can say God doesn't want his. God always wants to heal us. We don't have to ask God and say, "God, are you going to heal me or not?" No. God's power is there. God's will is there. And we have to say, if God says so, I'm going to believe it, and it's done. So Moses has no doubt that he could pray to God, and God is going to say, no, I'm not going to let it go. Let it be there for a while. But see the trick here. When you see the next verse, he goes to Pharaoh, and he said, okay, you want me to pray and take this frog away? When do you want this frog to go? What Pharaoh supposed to say, do you know? Take it out right now. I don't want it right now. Take it away right now. I don't need it. But the Pharaoh says, you can do it tomorrow. Let's read the verse 10.
And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God.
Now, Pharaoh says, you know what? These frogs are bugging us. They are in our bed. We cannot sleep. We cannot eat. We cannot cook. So much problem. It's only one day. And so Moses said, okay, I'm going to go and pray. When do you want this frog to go? What Pharaoh says? Tomorrow? Can you imagine people, even though they have problem, they don't want to give up their problem today. They want to keep it for tomorrow. That means if you're smoking and you want to give up, don't say tomorrow. If you're drinking, you want to give up the habits, don't say tomorrow. Any sinful activity you are doing, you should not say, I'm going to give up this tomorrow. Do it today. Because Pharaoh says, tomorrow. That's the enemy's tactic. Enemy wants to play with sin. But they enjoy, they say, oh, this is our God. And if we say, let it go today, we want to handle them a little bit more. If the Moses prays, they will go away. Let's say one more day. Anything you want to do it for God, what? If you want to do it tomorrow, do it today. If you want to do it today, do it now. That's what I tell people. People say, oh, you are hurrying too much. It's nothing hurrying. We don't know when God will come, Jesus will come, and when we'll die. We don't know. People can be standing. I saw people preaching in a pulpit and they drop dead. There's no timing. We cannot play game with God. We have to say, Lord, not tomorrow, today. I want to make up my mind today. Okay, verse 11.
And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only.
Now, he's saying, you know what? This is the way I'm going to pray. The frogs will go out of your oven, on our bed and houses, and your servants' house, everywhere they will go. But I'm going to keep the frog in the river. If the Pharaoh would have said, no frog in the river also. We do not want frog at all. It means no more frogs. And there are some many people said, oh, some of the animals, they are going to finish and die and we would not have. That's why they say, okay, in the river, keep it in the river. Now this time, Moses did something. He said, if you want this frog, right? Okay, what I'm going to say, Lord, let this frog die down and stay there. Let these people do some cleanup job. And only in the river, whatever the frogs are there, let it be there. And that's what happened. And see how their gods, or they like those very pretty frogs. See what happens, verse 12.
And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields.
If you would have said, okay, let the frog go, they could have gone the way they came, where they would go, right? You want a frog until tomorrow? I'll keep it as long as you want. You can keep them, frame them, do whatever you want. I'm going to keep it in your house. They're going to die everywhere. So all these frogs start dying everywhere. And they are not like a one or two here and there. They were like a carpet. Everywhere you see frogs. And see what happens. 14, okay.
And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said.
See, all these stinky frogs, everywhere is smelling, everywhere the pile of frog, but this man's heart hardened. You remember he said, Moses, you go let your people go and worship the Lord. But he hardened his heart. Verse 15, 16, okay.
And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt.
Now, this is the third miracle, or third plague. First was what? Blood. Second was frogs. The third one is lice. Now, even though checked in different Bibles, only King James Bible says lice, and some other Bibles, couple of Bibles. But most of the Bibles start saying different names, like gnats or some kind of fleas or something like that. But here he says lice. Lice, they come in your head, come in your clothes. And those lice only comes when the people do not have proper shampoo, or they don't wash their hair every day, or they are poor, or they don't have clothes, or they don't have too many clothes to change. Those are the people who have lice. And sometimes, even though you are wearing good clothes and you are very clean and pure, but if somebody has the lice and they're sitting with you, or they're kissing you, hugging you, and you can get it, and you say, oh, I'm clean, I wash my every head, and what happened? And they multiply very fast. In America, if one child in the school says, I have lice, everybody's hair should, they will be washing and they will be screaming. But in India, there are so many people have so many lice. Let's read, keep on reading up a little bit further.
And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth. And it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said.
Now see, first of all, Pharaoh said, you know what? You want to go and worship the Lord. When the frog is gone, his heart is hardened. That time, Moses did not go to Pharaoh and say, hey, I'm going to bring the lice now. God said, don't go to him now. Just take the dust and throw it on the ear, and that becomes lice, and they will have lice everywhere. Now, all of a sudden, the frog is gone, and they are scratching their head, they are scratching their body, looking everywhere. Everyone has the lice. But the Pharaoh king to the beggar. Everybody has it, so nobody can complain. Everybody has lice, and they call the magician. Magician comes and he says, oi, we cannot bring the lice. I was thinking they were able to bring frogs, they were able to turn the water to blood, and they were able to make a snake. Why they were not able to make lice? Because they were many. Everywhere there are lice. So where they're going to say, here, there was an empty place and we bought these lice. No, there was not a single place that you can see there is no lice. So they could not do it. And what they say, this is the finger of God. We cannot do it. This is God did it. And they are scratching their head, they are scratching their body. They cannot get rid of it. And this many lice came to their houses. And everywhere. Verse 20.
And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth.
Now, this time, God says to Moses, go to the river bank again. Because this man, Pharaoh, and everybody has a lot of lice, so they are going to go to the river, wash their hair with the soap and whatever they have medicine. They will take care of these lice, so they will be going to the river. So you go and talk to the man. Now this time, God is saying, you know, this time, not the lice, but I'm going to bring the flies. Now, flies also, sometimes they are different flies. Some flies goes on the fruits and things like that, though are green flies. But there are other flies, they not only sit, but they can bite you, and they can bring sickness and disease. Why? Because they go and sit in the dog dirt, and they can come and sit on food. They can eat somebody's wound, and they can come and sit on your food. The flies are bad flies. They can bring disease and sickness, and people can die. So now these flies are everywhere, and they are making people crazy. Let's read the verse 23.
And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be.
Now here God says one thing this time. Before that, God did it but did not warn him. There was a blood in the Pharaoh's place. There was no blood in the water in Israeli's place. There were frogs in their houses. Israeli people didn't have the frogs. They have lice. Israeli people didn't have lice. Now God says, saying, you know what? I'm going to show you something. All these flies comes. Do you know the flies can fly miles and miles? If you go to 10th floor or 100th floor, they will come the 100th floor. They can sit on your head and they don't have to fly. They just come with you. And so flies can be everywhere. You cannot control them. But he says, I'm going to make a division. The flies will be staying only in Pharaoh's and his servants. But my people, no flies. So I'm going to keep them safe. But you're going to see the God is going to do destruction to you, but Israeli people will be saved. If anyone has some kind of brain and they got all these problems, right away they say, oh, please don't do it. Enough is enough. We don't want any problem. But they are not listening.
And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies.
See, he says land was corrupted. All sickness, all germs, everywhere the fly sits, they make germs. Or they carry germs from one place to another place, so the land was corrupted. And this is not one fly, he says, the swarms of flies. You cannot imagine, some movie people, they show you some, but it was so many flies, and these people are getting crazy. The flies can sit on your nose, your mouth. You open your mouth, they get into your mouth, your nose, your ears, everywhere. So people got tired of flies.
Okay, I read
24. Okay, 25.
Okay. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land.
Okay. Now Pharaoh says, you know, Moses, last time I told you to go and sacrifice to the Lord, I didn't allow you. But now, don't go away from my land. Just do sacrifice in the land. What God told Moses, I want 3-day journey, and then go 3-day journey. That's what you tell Pharaoh. But Pharaoh saying, I'm not allowing you to go anywhere. You want to do sacrifice? Do it in our land. That's what the Pharaoh doesn't want you to go. Okay, that's why people say, why you ought to go to church? You can pray here. God is everywhere. Why you ought to go to church? But what the word of God says, read Hebrews chapter 10:25.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
When you go to church, you tell somebody, hey, did you read the Bible yesterday? Did you read the Bible today? What God is talking to you? This is what God talked to me. When you come together, we are coming together to edify one another. You can sit alone in the house and talk to God and pray to God, but when you come together, we are edifying one another. Ephesians chapter 4, starting from verse 11.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
See, perfecting the ministry and edifying the body of Christ. That's what the pastor's, evangelist, teacher's job is. If you stay in at home, you are alone. Who is the pastor? Who is the evangelist? Who is the prophet there? Nobody. You are alone. How you edify yourself? So that's why you go to church, to edify each other. Verse 13. Keep on reading.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
See, you want to be perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means each and every believer, they go to church, they listen, they obey, they practice, and that's the way they go to fullness, maturity in Christ. If somebody says, I'm born again, I don't have to go to church. Every day they talk of born again, I don't want to listen anymore. They're not going to grow. People don't read the Bible, they don't go to church, they don't pray. Whatever the Word of God teaches us, you cannot just learn at home. You read the Bible, you would not understand. So that's why the pastors are there. And we made from Matthew to Revelation, explain everything like a third grade child can understand the Bible. The point I'm making, devil doesn't want you to study the Bible. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to go and mingle with the Christian people. He doesn't want to go to church and Bible study. So why? Because he doesn't want you to grow. Here he says, we come together, we read the Bible, we study the Bible, the man of God teaches you, you grow and a spiritual maturity, and one day you will be just like Christ, doing the Christ works on this earth. God doesn't have anybody to do work here. Angel is not going to come and do it. We have to do it. We are the mouthpiece of God, God's hand, God's feet. Somebody say, oh, there are people suffering. Nobody does that. Who is going to do? I am going to do as a God's hand and God's feet. So the Pharaoh is saying, hey, you want to do the service? Do it in our land. Don't go away. Don't go further. We need you. And see what Moses said.
And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land.
Go and sacrifice in the land. See what Moses is saying.
And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us.
Now see, if they wanted to say, hey, Pharaoh is giving a chance to worship the Lord in their territory, and they hate Jewish people because Jewish people do the blood sacrifice. These Hindu people don't do the blood sacrifice. But they said, okay, you want to do the blood sacrifice? Do it in our land. What Moses is saying, Moses made a mistake saying that. Sometimes people make mistakes. People put the idea in their mind. He said, oh, you people hate us. We are abominable people. Oh, we are going to this blood sacrifice. And the Egyptian people will stone us. Even though they would not have idea to stone you, they will stone. Why we helping the enemy? We be standing our ground and say, hey, listen. That's what we have to do. So that's why I'm saying, Moses should not be saying, oh, Pharaoh, if you do sacrifice, you people will be killers. They will stone us. He should say, hey, listen, this is not the God's will. God told us go 3 day journey. That's what we are going to do. You're going to say, do it here. We are going to obey God. That's what we have to learn. Okay, let's read the verse 28.
And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me.
Now see, Pharaoh is saying, first of all, he's saying, you go and worship the Lord in this land. Moses said, no. We have to go 3 day journey. What the Pharaoh is saying, if you want to go, don't go too far. Just go a little bit far, not too far. Why? Because he wants control over these people. If these people go 3 day journey, it will be difficult for them to bring them back. So he said, go a little further, not too far. Okay? Some people say, I like to go to church. But you know, I don't want to go too far because International Christian Fellowship is too far. And next door is the Salvation Army. What's the difference? I can go to next door church. There are so many churches. Now when you people came here, you have to pass so many churches to come here, isn't it? There are so many churches around. Why are we skipping all these churches and coming? When we were in Rising Sun, we had a church in every block. Everywhere church. People are coming from Central City, New Jersey, Delaware. Why they have to come that far to come here? If you are really hungry and thirsty, you will go miles and miles looking for water and looking for food. Wherever we get the spiritual food, you go. Not because there is a church close by and they giving you spoiled food. You go there and you get sick. The point I'm making, don't go close by because there is a church or because we can go and worship. Go far away. Go a little bit further where you get a spiritual food. So that's why the Father is saying, you want to go? Go, but don't go so far. Stay here. Let's read the verse 29.
And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one.
Can you imagine? Pharaoh said, okay, go. He said, now listen, you're not going to change your mind, okay? We are going to go for journey. We are going to do the sacrifice. Okay, you go. Take this fly away. He said, don't change your mind. No, I'm not going to change. And so he said, everything God, what the word of God says, not a single fly was in the land. Can you imagine? God had power to take away all the flies. Not a single fly was in there. That's a miracle, isn't it? Not a single fly. We have to believe if God did it then, he can do it today. There's nothing impossible with God. Let's read the verse 32. We're going to finish it here.
And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go.
See, he promised. And when the flies went away and not a single fly bothering, why should the children of people go? He said, well, I'm not going to let you go. So how many miracles we saw up to now? Four miracles. This was the fourth plague came to Egypt. But the same time, there was not a single fly came to the children of Israel. God said, I'm not going to allow any lies, any flies, any frog, any dirty water, any bloody water to my people. So God knows how to take care of his people and how to punish this evil people. So we don't have to worry. We just live for God and God will do miracle for us. When you do something for the Lord, he does something good for you. But God is a good God. He says, I will do favor to you. And you will see your enemy will be defeated. You don't have to worry about enemies. We just love the Lord and follow the Lord. We don't have to worry about anything. God says everything God has created for us, the jobs, the houses, the cars, the buildings, money, and everything for us. But if we line up with God, then nothing is impossible. Shall we rise? So let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us grace to trust in you. Our enemies, they look like giants. A giant can be defeated, and you showed your people. David alone, with the stone, first stone, killed the Goliath. The same God is here. All our enemies, they are so many. Our God can defeat anyone. So we do not bow down to any enemy. We bow down to Jesus Christ. And he will protect us. He will supply our needs. And we are one to follow Christ and his steps. And we will never go wrong. Give us grace to do mighty things before Jesus Christ comes. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.